Turn with me to John chapter 15. It has been said that close is good enough in what? Horseshoes and hand grenades. This morning, as we prepare to close out 2015 and head into 2016, getting close to what Jesus says we are to practice as his followers is not enough. We must hit the bullseye. I want to go back to a passage I preached in the summer because it has become a major prayer concern of mine for this church. My prayer for this church is for us to bear fruit. Close enough will not do it. We must hit the bullseye. Turn with me to John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. Jesus is speaking and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Hit the bullseye. Hit the bullseye by maintaining your aim. Your aim, as we begin the new year, as we close out the 2015 and get ready to start into 2016, your aim is to be on Christ. Your aim is to be like Christ. Your aim is to be abiding in Christ. And only then can you bear fruit. Now let me tell you, bearing fruit is not just my job. It's not just Jack's job or Jessup's job or Blake's job. Your job is to bear fruit. You have that same assignment. You have that same task, that we are to be like Christ and bear fruit. Jesus is in this teaching preparing the disciples for his departure. And he describes for them maintaining aim in terms of a vineyard. It was something they knew. He uses the analogy of the vineyard. He is the vine. He is the source of life and strength. God of the Father is the vine dresser, and you're the branches. You're the branches. And so the vine dresser always wants more fruit. Well, what is fruit then? Well, fruit, I think very simply, is Christ-likeness. Fruit is Christ-likeness in all of us. Fruit is Christ-likeness in all of us that draws people to Christ. Fruit is more fruit. And the vine dresser wants more fruit. He wants more people to come to Christ, and he wants those people to become more like Christ. And so the vine dresser cuts out the dead, and he cuts around the living to cause more fruit. Fruit is more people coming to follow Jesus in their lives. Fruit is simply any demonstration of the vitality of the life of faith. Fruit is being faithful and persevering in your life. Fruit is glorifying to God. Earlier in chapter 14, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says here, keep my commandments and abide in my love. Abide, stay in my love. Now, if you were to circle a person while looking in at them, it would be pretty easily to do that. You know exactly where they are. You know exactly what they're doing, so you just circle around. But we are told to love the Lord and love other people. So our aim, so our views, so how we look at things, we have to be out. Now, choir, you can compare. If I'm doing this, am I doing about the same circle as I was before? Well, it's kind of hard to do. But if I'm listening to somebody on the inside of that circle, if somebody's talking to me, if somebody's whispering to me, if somebody's speaking to me, then I can do it. Because I'll know where they are and I'll know where I am in that. And that's how we're to live. We're to so be listening for Christ. See, that's been the whole point of the listening report. What is Christ saying to you out of His Word? What is He pointing out to you? We're to so be so alive in Christ as we are looking out that we're to be abiding in His love. So this morning, let me ask you, are you really seeking after Christ? It always comes back to me every time I'll hear something or something. Is Christ the main thing or is He just an accessory? I think about how women dress. Now, women are all about accessories, right? See? She knows. I know. But so is Christ the main thing or is He just a nice accessory? We are to abide in Him. Maintain your aim. If your life consistently bears no fruit, guess what? God will intervene to prune you, to discipline you. If your life bears some fruit, God will intervene to cause you to bear more fruit. But both involve pain. Well, why is that? Well, one, you're doing something wrong. The other, you're doing something right. One bears no fruit, the other some fruit. One should be guilty, sad, when we're doing something wrong, because the sin in our life needs to go. But when He's pruning us, even then, there should be relief because we can trust, because all the self that's within us, all of our self needs to go. Repentance is the response of the first. Release is the response of the second. And pain stops when you stop sinning, but the other stops when God is finished. You say, well, I don't even like to be pruned. But do you want to bear more fruit? It's necessary. Which of those situations describes you? Is God at work in your life to draw you to repentance, or is God at work in your life to bring out more fruit? Whichever it is, and it will involve pain, don't waste the pain. Deal with what God is dealing with you about. Is there pruning going on in your life? Is something happening in a situation, a relationship, something going on that you look back at on it and you say, I see now God is pruning. What pruning is going on in the church? Are you maintaining your aim? Are you listening for the voice of Christ? We're to hit the bullseye. Hit the bullseye by always seeking the best for others. Let's pick up and read again in verse 12. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another." Hit the bullseye by always seeking the best for others. Jesus gives the command, love one another. Seek the best for one another. Good intentions or warm feelings for others is not enough. We are to want and seek what's ultimately the best for other people. And keep on seeking the best for other people. It's not what you think or what they think, but what Jesus says is ultimately best for them. Have you ever had somebody say, well, how do you love somebody? Or what should you do if you really do love for them? Whatever God says. If you want to show somebody how to have good marriage, shouldn't you talk to them about what the Bible says about a good marriage? If you want to have good kids and be able to raise good kids, shouldn't you talk to the person, or shouldn't you know what the Bible says about raising good kids? Because what God says is best for us. And so he says, keep seeking the best for others. As we think about who Christ is and how he loves us, Jesus loves us with a self-giving love, a laying down his life for us kind of love. And he says, greater love than has this than no one. Let me start that over again. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for a friend. You mean I got to die for somebody if I love him? No. Just maybe quit doing what you want to do for an hour and do what they want to do for an hour. Or instead of worrying about what you've got to do at home, maybe you need to take care of what they've got at their home or whatever. But he said, lay down your life for them. And this, he says, is God's will for you. And what more is there to life than knowing and doing God's will? The lady went to see a pastor about joining his church. The lady said, my doctor has sent me to see you. And so the pastor was kind of curious. Recently, the lady had had a facelift, and when her doctor dismissed her, he gave her this advice. He said, my friend, I have done an extraordinary job on your face, as you can see in the mirror. I have charged you a great deal of money, and you were happy to pay it. But I want to give you some free advice. Find a group of people who love God and who will love you enough to help you deal with all the negative emotions inside you. Find a group of people who want the very best for you. If you don't, you'll be back in my office in a very short time with your face in far worse shape than ever. Sometimes the very best for other people is to tell them the truth about themselves. And that's hard. Are you willing to do that? You'll be accused of not loving them when what the person really means is you love me enough to tell me the truth and I didn't want to hear it. Parents seek the best for their kids by establishing limits and enforcing them, teaching them to respect others and to work. Spouses seek to make the other feel like a success in every part of their lives. If you work with a lost person, seeking their best is sharing the gospel with them. Sometimes seeking the best is much more pragmatic. Going to work, coming home, helping with homework, minding manners. Do you really want what's best for others? Hit the bullseye. Hit the bullseye by ignoring the distractions around you. Let's pick up and read 18 to 25. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world. But I chose you out of the world. Because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Jesus knew the world would react to you as it did to him. And if the world hates you, know this, that the world hated him before the world hates you. And if you think the love of Christ will be welcomed anywhere and everywhere, think again. Jesus reminds the world of their evil and God's coming judgment. We had a little bit of an experiment about how evil is pervasive, but the light drives the darkness and the evil out. We did that little experiment Thursday night. It was quite dark in here until we started lighting candles. And the more candles that got lit, the more light there was. And the more light there was, the more you could see. And that's what's happening in our world, is that Christ has come and he's showing us what God intends. But the more people see, the more they realize that they're not meeting that and they hate it. Jesus said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. For you and for me, the object or what we're to do is to continue to love Christ, even if the world hates us. And we're to avoid or put out of our mind as much as we can the distractions that's going on around us. And we are to make sure that we are hitting the target of loving our neighbor. When I was a boy, my dad had a single shot 22, and every so often when we would go up to my grandmother's, we would take the rifle. And I was a kid of 8, 9, 10 years old, and I remember I was a pretty good shot with that single shot 22. But later, when I got bigger and got a 30-06 rifle, and I began developing a flinch. I knew that when I pulled that trigger, it was gonna go. And I'd move it around. Maybe what you're doing in your life is you're waiting for that flinch, that distraction. If I live for Christ, then the world's gonna do this. If I really love my neighbor the way God wants me to, then avoid the distraction. If you want to be accepted and fit in the world rather than loving Jesus with all your heart, you're distracted. If you want everyone around you to like you rather than telling them the truth about themselves, you'll be distracted. If you want to love yourself and hang on to your life rather than laying down your life, you'll be distracted. Don't be distracted. Hit the bullseye. So this morning, think about it. Are you hitting the bullseye? Are we bearing fruit? A little, but not much. Are you maintaining your aim by seeking after Christ, by seeking after intimacy with him? Are you hitting the bullseye? Are you seeking after what's best for others, even to the point of laying down your life? Are you hitting the bullseye? Are you able to ignore the distractions of what the world says and everything going on around you to bear fruit? Are you hitting the bullseye?